This is Victory House.
This morning, I want to, for a few minutes, I just want to challenge and encourage us. There's a scripture that I want to read as we, and then I'll go ahead. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. The Bible says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left." Verse 22 says, "You would also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ointment of your model images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing, and then you will say to them, get away." Essentially, God is saying that there will be some cleaning. Anything that seems to be unclean in your life, those things are going away in the name of Jesus. And then he goes on to say in verse 23, he says, then after those things have been taken care of, or after those things have gone, he says, then he will give the rain for your seed with which you would sow the ground, and the bread of the increase, and the bread of the increase of the earth. He says, it will be fat and plenty. In that day, your cattle will feed in the large pasture. Why am I saying this? I want to say one prayer before I go into what I have prepared for today. And the prayer is simple. Is that God would give me my own word today. God would give me a word today, and whatever it is that is causing blockage. Because I ask myself basic questions. There are some people that will go to a service, and some fraction would meet God, the other fraction would go back the same way. The same power of God was available in that service. The same power of God was available in that meeting. But why is it that people get different results? It's because there's some kind of blockage. There's something disconnecting. There's something that while service is going on, while God's presence is going on, you're thinking of something else. There's just some blockage. And it is my prayer that this morning, in the name that is above every name, whatever it is that is causing a blockage in your lives, whatever it is that is causing a blockage for you to receive what it is that God wants you to receive, we remove it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you would hear a word that is tailored for your next level. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. I ask that you speak through me, Lord. Help me deliver this message that you have given me. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, you have my notes, right? Okay. This morning, I want to just encourage us and challenge us and just say a few things that God has placed in my heart. My scripture that I'll be reading is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1. The Bible says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus was clearly portrayed amongst you as crucified? It says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? It says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, therefore, who supplies the Spirit to you and the works and works miracles amongst you? Does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" And he's saying, having, verse 3 is what jumps out to me when I read this text. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Every single one of us that is sitting here as a born-again child of God, I'm believing that everybody is here, you received Christ. It was an action of faith. It was a step of faith. We have been saved by grace through faith, right? It was, you took that faith step. And Christianity, essentially, is living by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this passage is telling us, you have started in the Spirit. Why are you not trying to be made perfect by the flesh? Why are you not trying to perfect things in your own strength? You don't have the capacity to do it. As a child of God, you started trusting God. You took that first step of salvation, that, okay, God, I am giving you my life. And then you start moving, and you start walking, and then you start moving. And then, for whatever reason, things don't seem to align. Then you take a step back and say, okay, look, I think I have to be more practical. You start to hear things like that. I think we have to be more strategic in our planning. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't be strategic. But the very essence of what we believe is based on faith. And that should be the driving force of even your planning. That should be the driving force of even your strategic thinking, or you being, okay, I have to be practical. Right? The title of my message this morning is Faith, Capacity, and Miracles. Faith, Capacity, and Miracles. And the text that we just read says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you have started in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? The first thing that I want to say about that, and then it goes on to say that, verse 5 goes on to say that, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you, how does he even do it? How does he do it? He says, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? You see, I'm sure we've all heard messages on faith, and my intention this morning is to sound like a broken record. I want to beat faith into every one of us. But that's no ego. But faith is simply this. It's believing God as his word. Right? If God has said it, he will do it. I ask myself a question. So if I believe God at his word, and I'm sure God will do it, then why do I try to do things myself? Abraham fell into this category. Abraham, father of faith. God told him, you have a son. He believed God, yet Ishmael still came out. He was trying to what? Help God. He believed that God would do it, but the how? I think it would be a lot easier for us if God doesn't just tell us, I will do it. This is exactly how I'm going to do it. But then there will be no faith involved. Right? Because he tells you, don't worry, I will do it. And then your human mind starts, but how? Rent is due tomorrow. Today is 11 o'clock or Sunday. How am I going to pay? And he's saying, I will do it. If he said, look, don't worry, 6:30, I'll give you the check, then you will go to bed straight up. But then at that point, you are resting. You're not trusting because you're just believing that, okay, well, he said he's going to do it, then I don't need to exercise faith because he's giving me the check at 6 o'clock. Faith is acting on God's word. Anytime I think about faith or anytime I read about faith, I usually try to use Abraham as the yardstick because he's somebody that in my own life I relate to personally because I feel like he didn't start out being perfect. He wasn't born, preaching and spitting fire. He came out from not a Christian background. I don't know if most of you know, I was born Muslim. And my actual legal name is Uthman. That's what I use on my driver's license. So I was born Muslim. And then at some point in my journey, I was converted to Christianity. But when you take a step and you look at Abraham, the father of faith, as he's portrayed, in Genesis 12, God tells Abraham something. He tells him, leave your father's house. Go to this land that I would show you. He didn't tell him where, but he just said, leave. And from verse 1 to verse 3, God was telling him, leave, I'll do this, you'll be great. And in verse 4, Abraham departed. It's kind of like in that conversation, in that instance, within that time frame, he acted upon God's word. He didn't know where he was going. Now, let's put that into today's world. If I get into a car with you and you're just driving and I ask you, Pastor Andrew, where are we going? And you say, don't worry. God will tell me. I will get down from that car. I'm just being honest. Right? For the most part, most of us will be like, okay, look, when you get there, call me. then I'll come and meet you there. So there's, and now he was not driving, he was walking. He was walking. So that takes a certain level of, I am trusting God. I trust what I heard. And then another thing about, thing Abraham did with circumcision. In Genesis 17, God tells Abraham that he should circumcise everyone born in his house. And the Bible says that on that very day, Abraham took out action. He made that circumcision. He carried out that plan. So faith is what? Acting on God's word. We also see him offering Isaac. And me as a parent, I think about this. For you to decide that you're going to sacrifice your own son, it's a lot. But now when you look at how would Isaac be viewing Abraham, and I think I've said this before, for your father to bind you in and he's about to just sacrifice you, and then he hears the voice and God says, okay, don't worry, I've prepared the lamb, you would always respect that father. It's whatever he says. You don't even argue with such people. Does that make sense? Because he has demonstrated clearly that even if God tells me to kill you, I am ready to kill you for God. But he believed that God would raise him up from the dead. Where am I going with this? I am going with it this morning that there is a connection between your faith, there's a connection between capacity, and there's a connection between miracles. The three are interwoven. There is a connection between faith. We see that with Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah called down fire. But he said something in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. Elijah said, I have done all these things at your command. That means at the word of God, I have decided to do all these things. So I am simply just acting out what you have told me to do. Does that make sense? At this point, I'd like to say this. Faith is not an experience. It's not an experience. It's a journey. There's no way you can tell me because God spoke, well, you saw God right now, you have faith. No, you're just telling me, yes, the presence of God was there and interacted. The way you can demonstrate faith is by acting out what he has said, and that's where the journey of faith begins. It's not an experience. It's good to seek the presence of God. It's good to do all those things. Yes, they're great. But when you're talking about faith, the only way you can validate faith is through the works, and that means you have to take action, and it tells me that it involves you moving, which is a journey. So faith is not an experience, it's a journey, right? I want us to resonate that. Now I ask myself, why are people trying to make things perfect in the flesh? I understand faith. I mean, the average Christian, faith has been beaten to him from the very first day he became saved. Most Christians know Hebrews right off the bat. Once you're saved, it's Hebrews. Hebrews, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We get that. But when I know that I started in the Spirit, why am I now trying to make things by my own strength? And I don't think people make a conscious effort to say, well, God, I'm going to forget you and I'm going to do things my way. No, I just think it's a default system that you've stepped out and things are not working as planned. Then you slowly, slowly, slowly start saying, okay, if I take this step, you know, and it doesn't work out, then maybe I should just gradually do what I know to do, right? Without asking God and still consciously factoring God. So sometimes I think we get comfortable or we try to make things perfect when we are in a comfortable zone, we are comfortable situation. For example, okay, I'm okay. I don't have to go the extra mile. God has told me to do X, Y, Z, but it's going to require A, B, C. I don't want to disrupt any plan. I like my life the way it is. I want to just go to work, take care of my kids, come home, maybe watch a few movies, go to church. That's it. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm not Jesus. Jesus has come, he has died for the world. I don't have to die for the world again. I just want to do things natural. I mean, just the barest minimum. I'm not trying to rock the boat. So sometimes people do that because they are in their comfort zone. People are trying to make things perfect based on their own comfort. Another thing is oftentimes people feel like I have stepped out in faith a lot, and as a result of that, I have not seen the reward. So I'm going to be less risky. I'm going to be more practical. I give some examples. Giving comes to mind. You have been giving consistently, and there's a project to be given, and you know God is putting things in your heart to do, and you're like, I've given all this, look, God, I have to be practical. God knows you have to be practical. Like, God doesn't know those things before he tells you to give. Or it could be, go and do this for somebody. And you now say, look, I've done all these things. I've helped this person, I've helped this person, I've helped that person, I've helped this person. And they all burnt me. I'm not helping this person anymore. I have to be very careful now. Because people, you don't know. You can't help them. That is what, you're being practical. You're trying to make things perfect in your own, where your own works. But for me, the focus that I want to focus today is the reward. I think people slow down on their faith work because they don't necessarily see the reward the way they thought it would come. For example, if I go to work, I am expecting to get paid, regardless of how many hours I put in. I mean, if you are a salaried person, regardless of whether it snows, regardless of whether there's public holiday, regardless of the Russian hack, it doesn't matter to me. If there's anything, I'm expecting my paycheck that day. So I don't necessarily need faith in that sense, because there is a given, there is a transaction. But if somebody says, come and work for me, and don't worry, I'll pay you on Friday, your mind says, how much are you going to pay me? That's the very first thing. Not, okay, sure, come here, I trust you will pay me. So my point is this, as human beings, we grow up with a reward system. Even as kids, if you do this, then I'll give you that. If you lay your bed, I'll give you this. If you go to school and you get all A's, then we'll go on summer vacation. If you do this, then you'll get that. So there's that reward system. But now when we get into the kingdom of God, God is telling you, just follow me. Don't worry, I got this. And then you're saying, God, who is going to pay who? How do I get paid? How do I get my reward system? And because of that, because we are not yet accustomed to God's reward system, then we slowly pull back. Does that make sense? We slowly pull back. Now, faith is the language of the kingdom. I can't stress that enough. Faith is the language of the kingdom. Hebrews 11 says that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I believe that God will reward me, then my focus should not be on how I get rewarded, but on the fact that he would reward me. Because if I focus on the how, then I may miss what he's trying to do. Because it might not be how he expects, it might not be the way I expect him to reward me. Does that make sense? If I am expecting it to come in a certain way, then I am looking out for that way. And if it doesn't go that way, then I get disappointed. But if I have at the back of my mind that every single thing works together for my good, then I am confident of this fact that as I am following God, it's just a matter of time. Every single thing must align. How they align, that's why he's God. He will figure it out. If I knew how they were aligned, then I'll be God. He is God. He's the only one. I mean, how many of us are here? All of us, we pray to him, and he doesn't say, come on, calm down. Every single one, we pray to him, and he gives us that audience. It only takes a God to do that. Amen? So my point is this. The reward system that we are accustomed to shifts when we become Christians, when we become born again. And sometimes in that transition, it limits us because we are not going full throttle. Let's take some examples. Well, let's look at Joseph. Joseph, he had a dream. He started, tells his brother, he goes, they sell him, he moves into slavery, he goes into Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife tries to sleep with him, he runs away, he goes to prison. All these things are going. That's Joseph. But he still trusts God, and he's still saying, well, God would pay me. And then in prison, he interpreted a dream. He tells the chief butler, this is what will happen, blah, blah, blah. You'll be released. You'll go back. And then when the chief butler was leaving, he said something to him. He said, remember me when you leave. remember me in front of Pharaoh, the chief butler forgot. So Joseph was essentially, okay, look, maybe this is my way out. But the chief butler forgot. Now, I don't know if Joseph was heartbroken. Look, this guy has gone out now. First day, second day, third day. I don't know how many days passed. But later on, that was in Genesis 40. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh had a dream. A problem was created. He had this dream that was burning. I need this dream interpreted. A problem was created. The butler now all of a sudden remembers and says, wait, there's somebody that can interpret this dream. And then he goes to meet Joseph. And then Joseph comes out and he interprets that dream and his story changes. My point is this. You see, things need to align for you to find expression. If you try to align everything by yourself, you can't. You don't have the ability to do it. You don't have the capacity to do it because you are not everywhere every time. But in this instance, a problem was created. The chief butler remembered Joseph. And then Joseph did what? He rose up to solve a problem he was created for. Please, let's rise and let's just say this prayer. That Lord, let everything align for me. Yeah, I'll explain to you guys. Say, Lord, let everything align for me. To be able to solve the problem I was created for. Let everything align for me. Begin to pray. Turn it into a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, let every single thing align for me. Every single thing aligned. I speak alignment right now. Wherever our name is mentioned, as individuals, as a church, we decree and declare alignment. That everything aligns for me to be able to solve what you created me for. For me to be able to birth that which you have placed on my inside. Every single thing aligns for my good. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Another thing that I want to point out is Ruth. When we look at Ruth, the story of Ruth, I ask myself a question. Why on earth would Ruth stick with Naomi? It didn't make sense. Why? She's your mother-in-law, but the husband has died. Two kids have gone. Why are you still following this woman? Imagine if Ruth comes to meet you, if Ruth was your sister or your daughter, and she comes to advise you. Even Naomi discouraged that, look, even if I was to marry today, and I give birth today, would you wait for this guy to grow up and then now marry him? Come on, just go. Leave, go. But Ruth decide, why? I still ask that question, why? Why did she stay? I don't know why. I mean, she told Naomi, your people, your God will be my God, wherever you go, I will follow you. She said that, and she was committed to that. But at that fork of destiny, why did she stay? That decision puts her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. That one decision. It didn't make sense in the natural. There is no way. Okay, now let's even put it. If she had gone, there's nobody that will fault her for leaving. I mean, there's no way anybody will have known. Nobody in her lineage will now say, well, you left. No. But she stayed the course. She trusted God and her generations to David and then another 14 years to Jesus changed. One decision that when I look at that, how would you have made that decision? There is nothing in the natural that can tell you follow Naomi. There's nothing. Maybe it's just me. There's nothing. Let's relate that to today. I mean, sometimes you're just making a decision and it does not make sense. Why are you going to this church? I don't mean to put Tolu on the spot, but I asked Tolu that question one day. I said, why are you coming to this church? We started at Berry Park. It was, how many of us? And I asked, on a Sunday, it would just be him. And I asked him, why are you coming to this church? Because I know the number of churches you will pass before you get here. Why are you coming to this church? I mean, you can ask him after you tell the answer. But it just struck me. Because, I mean, there are days we would go to storage, even in the snow. He will come early, we'll go to storage, unpack, and he will come and he will just sit down. And in my mind, I was even saying, I don't know even me. If God didn't tell me to go and start to be part of the church plant, I would have gone to another church. I'm just being honest. At that point, it takes you to see beyond the natural for you to make some certain decisions that affect your generation. This morning, we are going to pray this prayer. When I was writing this prayer down, I wrote it as, Lord, give me the wisdom to make the right choice. And I was corrected by him. Give me the wisdom to make the choice that aligns to your will. Because sometimes, who is the one that validates right choice? I mean, if Naomi had gone, it was the right choice for her, based on her own assumptions, based on counsel, do this, and that's the right choice at that point. But it might not be heaven's choice. This morning, I want us to rise up and say this prayer. There are decisions that you will make that is tied to seven, Jesus tarries, 14 years generation. We see it in the life of Ruth. Lord, give me wisdom. We can rise up to our feet, please. Lord, give me wisdom to make the choice that aligns to your will for my life. Not the right choice. Sometimes the right choice might be the popular choice. Sometimes the right choice might be the choice that feels good. But in this case, I don't want to make the right choice. We are talking about faith, capacity, and miracles. I want to be aligned to heaven's will. Give me wisdom to align to your will. Every choice that I am making, give me the wisdom to make sure to ensure that there are choices that align to heaven's will. Open up the eyes of my understanding. Paul said, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding is enlightened, that I know the hope to which I have been called. I am asking this morning, as individuals, as a church, as families, give us wisdom to align to your will, to make choices that align to heaven's will. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Still talking on the topic of faith, capacity, and miracles. Let's look at Naaman. I'm sure you've heard this story before. When Naaman, he had a specific way he wanted Elisha to heal him. A specific way. And again, this goes back to why we hold back. I've started something in faith, but I'm expecting it, God. This is how sometimes we tell him, God, if you don't do it by 5 o'clock, okay, who is the God now? Who is giving who instruction? If you don't do it by 5 o'clock, there's a borderline between faith and pride. If he doesn't do it by 5 o'clock, heaven will not fall. He's still God. Amen. If he doesn't do it by five, Naaman said here, Naaman said, so Elisha, this is 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him, to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand on the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. He had a specific way. God, I know you are going to bless me, but this is how you must bless me. It must be through this way. I know you are going to do it, but this is how you must do it. And sometimes, if God is not doing it, then we decide that, God, I want to help you. You are not too, yeah, a little bit, I can help you. We can be faster with this project. We can wrap it up quickly. Let me help God. I'm going to help you. It will be this way. I will call this person, we'll do it like this, and I'll get the results. Amen? We see that sometimes that in itself limits the power of God in our lives. It limits the power of God in our lives because we have gotten to a place whereby God cannot tell us what to do again. We have gotten to a place whereby sometimes some people, I'm very loose to use this word experts. There's no experts anywhere. I don't care how many years you've been doing it. You are still learning. The so-called experts, they put out a recession, right? Was it 2008? They had the Harvards, the MBAs, everything. There's no expert anywhere. Every one of us is still learning. That's the reality. Some people are just more knowledgeable because they've applied themselves in certain instances or certain areas. God is the only expert. He's the only one that has a complete view of every single situation. But not to digress, this morning, you telling God, this is exactly how I want you to do it. Sometimes some people are verbal, some people in their actions say that limits the capacity of God in you. So I've talked about faith, now I'm moving to capacity. Capacity essentially equates to your ability to perform. It is your capacity, it is your ability to perform whatever it is God has called you to do, or do whatever it is. That ability to perform. Excuse me. When you look at the story of Jabez, this story is a story that when I think about, I ask certain things. The Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And then he goes on to say, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, I bore him in pain. And then it says, and Jabez called on the name of the God of Israel. It says, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 4 from verse 9. And then Jabez calls on the name of the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And then he says that you would enlarge my territory. So what is the link between pain and enlargement of territory? Why didn't Jabez pray a prayer, God, I'm causing pain. My mother said I'm causing pain. Help me to stop causing pain. Bless me and go on. Why would he connect capacity, enlarge my territory, enlargement of course, to getting out of pain? Because the reality is this. If you have a limited capacity or unutilized capacity, you're going to affect people around you. You're going to hurt people around you. You're going to drag people around you down. It is important. Let's look at the human body. The human body, it is important for not just the heart to be functioning at optimal capacity, but the brain as well, and the kidney, and the liver. Everything needs to function at optimal capacity. Otherwise, regardless of how much the heart is functioning at capacity, if the liver shuts down, then it puts a strain on the heart. It puts a strain on the every other system in the body, right? So there is a direct link between your capacity and whatever God wants to do through you. It's there. There's a direct link. Now, let's look at this. Just help me out here. If I have a cup, I was going to do this, but I figured this needs to be wet. I have a cup, maybe 8 ounces, and I fill it with water. It's filled. If I puncture a hole in that cup, and I'm still pouring it, I can run that tap to Lake Michigan. That cup cannot be at optimal capacity because there's a hole in it. No matter how much water I pour into it, it will leak, right? If I now, let's take another scenario. The second scenario is there is the capacity of, it's 8 ounces, this is it, I can't take anymore, I'm done. Just cover it. And that's it. It's 8 ounces there. A water that does not flow becomes a pond, and after a while, it will be stale. You get what I'm saying? But the ideal scenario is for you and I to be, even if it's 8 ounces, but I have that 8 ounce, and then connected to that 8 ounce, I am pouring into somebody else's life. Then I can take as much water because I'm just a pass-through. Then now I'm not just 8 ounces, I have the capacity to deliver whatever because I have been connected to something. This life is bigger than you. No matter how you look at it, no matter how much people hurt you, no matter what you're going through, it's not about you. It is bigger than you and I. We have a capacity, and it is important for you to find your next connection and connect to it. And when you connect to it, you'll be able to flow. Let's look at a car. The average car, I mean, some cars are more, whatever. But my car has 13 liters of fuel. Sorry, 13 gallons. I keep thinking Nigerian. 13 gallons of car fuel. So to fill up my tank is 13 gallons. But my mileage on my car is more than 13, than the mileage that has. So with full tank, I can get about 400 miles. I have more than 400 miles on my car. I have 87,000 miles on my car. Why? Because when I feel it, I use it. Then I go back, I feel it again, I use it. But if I feel it and I don't use it, it will be still, and after a while, that tank will start to rust. Right? My point is, the miracle is in the usage. Your miracle is in the usage. God is not just going to bless you for you and stay there. Why would I give you more capacity at 8 ounces? There is a hole in your cup and it is full. Why do you need more capacity? Sometimes some people say, and I say this very loosely, I'm not trying to become offensive. And God, help me deliver this message. Some people say they need money. And you ask them, what do you need money for? And they say, I want to buy a car, I want to pay my bills, and I want to buy a house, I want to buy clothes. You don't need money, go and get a job. Because everything is about you. All you just get the paycheck, it's about you. It starts and ends with me. That is limited capacity, right? But, and it's a different prayer when you're thinking that, look, how can I pay tuition for people around me? You need more resources. You need more than a paycheck for things like that. How can I partner with somebody and change somebody else's story? You see, there's that, when we, this morning we're talking about the talents. We're talking about talents. And there's the story of the talents, and then the master gave the guy with the 5 talents. And he took those 5 talents and then he traded with it. Where was the multiplication? It was because he did something with it and then he multiplied. 5 loaves turning into 5 loaves and 2 fish turning to feed multiple thousands of people. Where did that miracle take place? It was in the sharing. When did the water turn to wine? It was in when they poured it. They were following instruction. Every next level is tied to you to move. The miracle is always is in doing. It says if you are willing, Isaiah, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will watch, you will eat the good of the land. You must be willing and you must be obedient. Obedient means I'm ready to carry out this instruction. I'm ready to do whatever it is you have told me to do. So if you look, if you're talking about capacity, you need increased capacity for the next level. Increased capacity can very well be, God, whatever is causing leakage in my cup, help me block it. Whatever is causing leakage, that could be increased capacity. That sometimes it could be your own character. It could be your own mindset. It could be, like in this case, we see Naaman. Naaman told, what does it mean? Tell me to go into the Jordan River. Oh, there are other better rivers there. Why would he tell me to do that? But I believe that God knew that there was a connection between Naaman's being cleansed, and what was limiting him partly was his pride. But I'm glad he did. He decided to go and do it, and he was cleansed. Right? So my capacity is tied to my miracle, and my faith is tied to my capacity. If I trust God, in this story, I think it was insistent, I was saying it this morning, that okay, I want to believe God that what he has given me, I have faith to be able to do whatever it is and it will be multiplied. So there's a faith aspect of releasing that potential, releasing that capacity. Jabez's prayer still strikes me when we go back to how is it that I've started in the spirit now being made perfect in the flesh. There's a linkage between that. And I was just thinking about it, and I got to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 says this. I'm going to start rounding up. Isaiah 54 says this, verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. It says, do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. It says, for you shall expand to the right, expand to the left, and then your descendants will inherit nations. This expansion is not tied to me. It's tied to my descendants. It's tied to the next generation. It's tied to the fourth, fifth, sixth generation if Jesus tarries. So it's important for me to enlarge my own capacity so that I know, see, if I know that I am making a decision that my children will look back and say, why did my daddy make that decision? I would think differently. I would be a little bit more spiritual, or I'll be a little bit more, I'll know that my decisions, or I won't take my decisions lightly, because I know it is tied to people that are coming behind me. Now, if you're single, you can be like, well, I'm just doing it. No. Your decisions today affects tomorrow. It says that they should enlarge their cords, so expand to the right and to the left, that their descendants would inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabitable. They should make it inhabitable. They should inhabit it, the cities inhabited. When you enlarge your capacity, it affects your next generation to be able to do certain things. So that way, it's not just about me, it's about my children's children's children. Now let's get to the part of the one that me I like. All I want to be talking is theory. We'll be talking things. The miracle part. Miracle is simple. It is God just breaking protocols. That's it. It is God breaking protocols. When you look at a miracle, it is, in essence, it is God breaking protocols. A scripture that I came across in 2009, I will never forget. It was September of 2009. And I was in a place in my life whereby I was asking a lot of questions. I felt I had lost so much ground. I felt that, God, I need to gain ground, not just financially, but spiritually. I recently rededicated my life to God then, 2009. And I was very thirsty. I felt a lot of things had moved past me. And I came across this scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 18. Most of us know it, but I'll read it. It says, do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. God is the one that will do a new thing. See, I don't care how dark your past is. I do not care how dark your past is, but your future is bright. You need to let that resonate in you, regardless of whatever it is that has happened in the past. It's God that is saying here. He says, I will make a new thing. He says, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He says, I will make a road in the wilderness. Anytime I think about this, I get excited. Do you know what it means to make a road in wilderness? And then he goes on to say, rivers in desert. Desert. You want to make a river. That is the kind of capacity our God has. He's telling you and I, regardless of what has happened in the past, when we drive, how many people here drive? When you drive, you only focus on your rearview mirror. Show of hands. You don't. You can't be driving forward and focusing on your rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is for back. I am focusing and I am moving forward. So the point is this. There is a connection between your faith, capacity, and miracle. But you need to come to a point that you understand that, look, even if is only one person that is going to be blessed in this city is me. I'm not saying God will only bless one person, but I'm saying you get to that point that every single thing works for my good. How God is going to do it is God. My own is, I will be willing, I will be obedient. Everything he tells me to do, I will do it. I will stay the course. I would read scripture. And as he places things in my heart, I will continue to align and I would watch him transform me. That way, he will take all the glory. Like I said, when did he, at what instance did the water turn to wine? I don't know. But it was in the pouring. This morning, I want us to pray this prayer as I close. You see, when it comes to miracles, there are some miracles that you might expect. Okay, God, I need a miracle in this specific area. But there are some miracles that you need that is as a result of generational curses that you don't know about. When I read the story of Jesus, when he was meeting Pontius Pilate, and then the guy said that, okay, hey, look, I want to leave him. And they said, no, crucify him. And then he washed his hands. And they said, may his blood be upon us and our children. Why your children? What did your children do? There are times when people have made decisions that affect lineages, and the child is suffering as a result of that. But I stand in the name of Jesus, and I decree and declare every generational curse, everything limiting you from being all that God has called you to be. I am not here to argue why. I am just here to enforce our covenant right. And I am saying in the name of Jesus, those things are broken in the mighty name of Jesus. That every chain is broken this morning. And in the mighty name of Jesus, that things begin to align. In the mighty name of Jesus, in your life, in your home, in your families, in the name of Jesus. God will give you grace to stay the course. God will enlarge your capacity. You will not cause pain in the mighty name of Jesus. Every single one here hearing my voice and watching through live stream, I decree and declare that you are a solution to your world. And that which God has placed on your inside, he will give you the capacity to release in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Hallelujah.